This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. We're in a series of messages having to do with the call of God on our lives. God has placed a call on the life of every person in this room today. He has a direction that He has set for our lives. He has a purpose and a goal that He intends for us to fulfill. And if you want to have what Jesus called the abundant life, it's only going to come as you fulfill the calling that God has placed on your life. Now, parents, how many of you have standards for your kids? You expect your kids to meet certain standards. Amen. Hope you do. Guess what? God's family is no different. God's family has standards for us that He wants us to keep. And He says it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. In fact, today, we're going to look at one of God's standards. And it's what I call a non-negotiable standard. Non-negotiable. In fact, this is one where if you don't get it right, you just totally miss God. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 13. Here's the standard. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That's the standard. If you miss out on holiness, you miss God. God says we're to be holy. We need to understand what holiness is all about. Amen? Let's talk about what holiness is. Go over to the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. This is part of the Ten Commandments. It's one of the commandments that we don't think too much about today, because if the truth be told, we don't pay this one any attention at all. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it what? Holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now let's check how old some of you are. How many of you remember when people wouldn't go out to the store on Sunday? Yeah, you're old. Yeah, Amen. Now see, I kind of remember that because I was an itty bitty little baby back then, okay? But what happens on Sunday now? Shop till you drop, amen? On my way over here, I pass by a place where there's a flea market. And every Sunday morning, you know what I see? I see rows of cars pulling into the flea market at church time. So we no longer have any idea about keeping the Sabbath day holy. But think about this now. Wait a minute. What did God mean when He said to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? What does holiness have to do with the Sabbath day? You're in the book of Exodus. Look at chapter 35, verse 2. Exodus 35, 2. Let's see if we can understand what holiness has to do with a particular day of the week. Exodus 35, 2. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. Now we can begin to see what's happening here. God is saying, look, I've given you 7 days in the week, but I'm going to set 1 day apart. that's different from all the rest. On 6 days, you can work and do anything you want to do. But on the seventh day, I expect that day to be treated differently. It is different from all the rest. It is separate from the rest. You can't treat that day like you do any of the others. You see, that's what holiness is all about. That which is holy is something that has been set apart from everything else. It's not like everything else. You can't treat it the same way you treat everything else without violating its holiness. Look at Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 10. Look at what this concept of holiness is. That you may distinguish between holy and unholy and between unclean and clean. You see, holiness has the concept of making a distinction between that which is holy and that which is not. And you cannot mix the two. The moment you begin to mix the two, you violate the holiness of that which should be separate. You're in the book of Leviticus. Go over to chapter 20. Look at verse 26. Here's God's marching orders to his people. Leviticus 20, 26. Catch this. And you shall be holy to me. This is God speaking to his people Israel. You shall be holy to me, for I the Lord am holy, and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. Do you see what God is saying to his people? Look, you are a people that I have formed out of all the other nations. I have set you aside. I have separated you from everybody else. You're not to be like everybody else because I have called you to myself. That's what holiness is all about. When God sets something aside and says, this is for me, and it doesn't belong to anybody else, it can't be like anything else. You're in the book of Leviticus. Look at chapter 22. Here's a question. How many of you have ever in your life used profanity? Come on. Amen. The young people up here are looking at their parents going, man, I don't want. Let's understand what this idea of profanity really refers to. It's not just four-letter words. Is something more important than that. Leviticus 22:32. You shall not profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Did you catch what he said? You shall not profane my holy name. You see, that which is profane is the opposite of that which is holy. That which is profane is that which is common. It's like everything else, like everybody else. And you know what profanity is? The original usage of that. How many of you have heard the Lord's name taken in vain? I won't ask you how many of you have taken his name in vain, but how many of you have at least heard it? Heard the name's Lord, the Lord's name taken in vain. The scripture says what in the Ten Commandments? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Amen? Why? Because his name is holy. His name is high above any other name. His name reflects his character. And therefore God says, you are not to take my name in vain. What does that mean? You are not to use it commonly. You're not just to be throwing the name of God around in your everyday conversation. You're not, when you just want to have some kind of a terminology come out of your mouth, to be talking about God this and God that, or Jesus this and Jesus that. You see, that's what the real profanity is. When we take that which is holy, that which pertains to God, and bring it down to the level of everything else in this world. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Do you see it? God says that if you're going to be my people, if you're going to be in the family of God, here's the standard. Come out and be separate. What does that mean? Be holy. Understand this. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you claim the name of Christ, you cannot be like everybody else. You can't be. Come out from among them. Be separate. Then I will be your God and you can be my people. How many of us mess around with what we know is unclean? Mess around with what we know doesn't please God. Mess around with stuff that if we had to come to church and stand up and testify and say, I want everybody to know what I was doing last Thursday, we would have to hang our head in shame. Wouldn't want the congregation to know. That's a good test, by the way. It's a scriptural test from John chapter 3. If it's something that you feel like you have to hide so that people don't know about it, you need to check it out. Understand this. There is no alternative to holiness. You can't give God enough to make up for not being holy. You can't serve Him enough to make up for not being holy. You can't spend enough time in church. You can't sing well enough in the choir or on the praise team. You can't preach well enough to make up for not living a holy life. God says, come out from among them and be separate. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. Here's the greatest manifestation of God's holiness. And it's what God expects for us to have in our lives. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. There it is. Everyone who has this hope in Christ purifies himself just as Christ himself is pure. That's God's standard. That's what he's looking for. The absolute purity of God, he expects that to be operating in our lives. I won't even ask the question, how many of us think that we're meeting that standard? But catch this. Purity is vulnerable. Have you thought about that? Purity is very vulnerable. Think about this. Suppose I'm a surgeon in a hospital, and you need to have an operation, and you come in, and they put you on the operating table, and I'm your surgeon. So what am I going to be doing? I'm going to go in, and I'm going to very, very thoroughly wash my hands. Amen? In fact, I understand they teach them how to wash their hands so that they do a very thorough job. Now, suppose when you're on the table, there are some visiting doctors who come in to observe, and they come into the operating area, and after I've washed my hands and everything, all of these visiting doctors come in off the street. And I say, Joe, good to see you. How you doing there? Glad to see you. How you doing, Malaya? Oh, it's so great. I haven't seen you for 2 years, girl. Oh, it's wonderful. And Dr. Gordon, great. Good to see you, man. And then I'm going to come in and I'm going to cut on you. Now, what's the problem with that? You see, I was pure. Amen? I was clean. But when I touched that which is not clean and not pure, what happened? Did I make it pure? No, it's impurity rubbed off on me. So you don't want me cutting on you after I've gone around the room? I probably ought not to say this to you because it's going to make you very self-conscious. Sometimes I'll go and get pizza at one of these convenience stores for lunch. And I notice something. And I've just made up my mind, Lord, I'm going to pray over my food and it's going to be fine. There I have this pizza there. And I'll say, give me a slice of pizza. They'll reach in, grab the pizza with a hand. And then they'll take that little, what is that, scoop or whatever it is. But they always grab it with one hand and put it in the box. And I'm thinking, you know, where has that money that they've been messing around with been? I mean, you know, how many germs are on their hands right now? But I decided to pay the price if I want my pizza.
Lord said, pray over the neat. So, hallelujah. But you see, that which is pure is contaminated by that which is impure. And that is why God says, if you are going to walk in holiness, you've got to come away from that which is unholy. You can't mess with it. How many of you know what a cesspool is? Think of somebody who is just totally pure, just had a shower, just had a bath, got on clean clothes, totally pure. And somebody takes him by the hand and say, you know what? It's a hot day. I feel like cooling off. Let's go jump into the cesspool together. Can you imagine? You can't just say, well, you know, just a little bit. You know, I'm not going to jump all the way in. I'm just going to mess around with it a little bit. Uh-uh. Why? The moment you touch that which is unclean, you become unclean yourself. Be holy, for I am holy. And without holiness, no one will see God. On a daily basis. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. Gird up the loins of your mind. Now that's kind of old English. It's preparing yourself. It's getting ready. It's getting right on point, ready to move. And so when it says we are to gird up the loins of our minds, what it says is we're to be ready for holiness. We're to be ready to do what it takes to be holy. We've got to have our minds fixed on the fact that I am holy before God and I'm going to live a holy life. Got to be prepared. Got to be thinking that way. It means you got to look at what it is you're supposed to be doing, get focused on that, and not let yourself be distracted into anything else. So every day, I've got to get my mind fixed around the fact that I am holy unto God. I am separated from this world. I can't be living in this world just like anybody else. I'm going to live holy today. Today, I'm going to live holy. Now, wait a minute. If I gave you the assignment, and the prize is $1 million. For you to live absolutely holy for the next 24 hours, how many of you think you'd collect? In fact, if I had $1 million, I'd put it up because I wouldn't have any expectation of any one of you getting the prize. That's not something we can do for ourselves. How can we possibly live holy? If nothing else, your thoughts will catch you. Amen? If nothing else, even if you don't do it, even if you don't say it, you thought it. You thought it. And God is looking upon the heart. Amen. He sees our thoughts. So we need something else. In addition to that determination that we're going to live holy, in addition to getting our minds focused on that goal, that's where we're headed, we need something beyond that. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 again. And look at the rest of that verse. It says, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Catch this. You know what it takes to be holy? Grace. It takes the grace of God to live a life of holiness for two reasons. Number one, you can't do it without the power of God. And number two, when you mess up, which you will, you need His grace to make up for your mess up. Amen? And so what is He saying? Don't look at yourself and say, man, I can't do this. I've tried to be holy. I want to be holy, but I'm always messing up. Lord, I'm failing. I don't see how I can possibly do this. He says, don't worry about it. Fix your eyes on the grace of God. Know that God has already declared you holy if you belong to Him. Why are you holy in His sight? If you're in Christ, His blood has cleansed you. You're not holy because you always act holy. You're holy because Jesus Christ died and He took His holiness and placed it on you. Now we walk in the holiness of Christ. Hallelujah. He says, what I want for you is fix your mind, gird up the loins of your mind. That's your goal. To walk holy, to be separate from this world, to be holy unto God. That's your goal. You commit yourself to that. You say, this is the thing that I'm going to do, Lord. This is what I desire in my life, and I'm calling on You, and I'm praying, Lord, help me to be holy. That's my commitment. And what does He say? I know you can't make it by yourself, so what? I'll be there for you when you call on me. Number three, look at verse 11 of 1 Peter 2. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Abstain from fleshly lusts. If we're going to be holy, we've got to make up our minds to abstain from the lust of our flesh which war against our soul. Now, what is lust? That word in the Bible, in the Greek, simply means a desire, a strong desire. And in this context, what it means is this. Any desire that we have that is against what God desires for us to have. That's it. If we want it, and God says no, and we want it anyway, that's lust. That's it. I mean, we can lust sexually, but I have to tell you, you know what one of my lusts is? One of my lusts is fruitcake. Amen. It's a lust of the flesh. Amen. The Christmas season, the fruitcake season, I want some fruitcakes. Amen. You see, anything that we desire that is not God's will for us to have, and yet we continue to desire it and move toward getting it, we are moving in the lust of our flesh. And the scripture says we're going to have to make the decision to no longer walk in lust. Number four. Look at verses 14 and 15 of 1 Peter 1. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. In other words, now you know better. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in how much of your conduct? In all your conduct. You see, we're going to have to make the decision to no longer conform ourselves to the way we used to be, but to be separate, to be different in all our conduct. We talked last week about the fact that God's standard is always 100%. Amen? He never settles for less than 100%. And if we're going to walk in holiness, we can't do it tiptoeing around saying, well, I'm going to be 78% holy this week. Or even, I'm going to be 98% holy this week. God's standard is in all my conduct. What does that mean? I need to look at all of my life. I need to look at every aspect of my life and ask myself the question, am I being holy? Am I walking in holiness in this area of my life? For example, there's some habits that you brought out of your former way of life. Amen? You need to ask yourself, am I being holy in my habits? Maybe it's the way you talk. I asked you about profanity before. Now, I didn't have you raise your hand for how many of you still slip. Amen? But you may need to watch your mouth. Not just profanity in the sense of four-letter words, but how do you talk to the people round about you? The scripture tells us in Ephesians 4 that every word we say ought to have the impact of building somebody up instead of tearing them down. Could we look back over this past week and say everything that you said to somebody had the impact and the intention of building that person up instead of tearing them down? If not, you need to look at the way you talk. If I'm going to walk holy, if I'm going to be part of God's family and carry his name, there are some people in our lives that we have to say, if I'm going to live a holy life, I can't continue to have the kind of friendship and relationship with you that I've had. Because they pull you away. Remember what we found? When that which is holy comes in contact with that which is unholy, when that which is pure comes in contact with that which is impure, what happens? The pure is contaminated. You may have to look at what you feed into your spirit. We talked about TV. Amen. How many of us watch at least 20 hours of TV in a week? Uh-huh. Amen. Come on, be honest. Amen. Uh-huh. Now, let me just tell you, I'm not going to get in your business. Yes, I am. I would be hard-pressed to find 20 hours of wholesome programming on TV. I mean, if you have found 20 hours that's good, that draws you toward God instead of away from God, please tell me what those programs are. I need to know about them. Amen? You need to be looking. If I'm going to be holy, I've got to watch what I bring in. Because understand, we've got a whole generation that's being educated by Oprah and by, what's this guy's name? Jerry Springer. They're being taught what life is all about by that stuff. And is that going to lead them to holiness? That is profane. That is profane. That's common. So we need to look at what we bring into our spirits. What kind of music are you listening to? What are the lyrics that are carried in that music? You know what? God made music in such a way that music can come in under the radar. You know? You're listening to the music and you don't even think about the words, but 10 years later you can repeat those words back. That's the way music operates. You may need to be watching the kind of music that you listen to. How are you spending your time? Does the way you spend your time reflect holiness? If you're watching 20 hours of TV a week, maybe you need to look at your time. How you spend your money. What are you spending your money on? Are you spending your money on things that are benefiting the kingdom of God? Or things that are just like the rest of the world? Well, this is what I feel like I want to have today. And next week, you say, man, why did I spend money on that? I didn't need that. Understand this. God's standard is absolute purity. And when we look at our lives, we need to evaluate ourselves from this standpoint. Can I look at every area of my life and say, as far as is humanly possible, with the help of God, this is an area of my life that is pure as God is pure. It is holy as God is holy. And if it's not pure and it's not holy, we need to examine ourselves. Amen? If we're going to walk in the holiness of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from every form of evil. Here's one final scripture I want us to look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you have been bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. There it is. Bottom line. We don't belong to ourselves anymore if we carry the name of Christ. He bought us. He paid for us. And when you buy it and pay for it, what? It belongs to you. Amen. You can do with it what you want to. And he says, what I want for you, the one I bought and paid for with my blood, is be holy. As I am holy, and don't settle for anything less.